Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford. Hope you're very well this Sunday morning. Phil Nichols here.
Hi, Jason Manford, I
yes,
am here.
Lovely.
I'm so happy to be here.
So nice for you to come in tonight
yes.
when you're on tour and you're busy. And
I am, and I'm shattered
knackered,
and I'm tired,
yeah.
but I love you that much.
I know, I can feel the love.
Yes, you can feel
I can
it.
Feel the love. And we were so, like last night we were both finished our gigs.
Yeah.
And you were heading to Manchester, I was heading to Manchester. And you know when you get off stage,
yeah.
that endorphin rush, and you
oh, yeah.
and I was messaging you saying, "Hey man, what's how'd you get into Manchester? Because uh-huh. kids are at my mum's.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, let's go out.
Yeah."
And we were for about an hour. We Wait. Were like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah."
Absolutely, you and me in Manchester.
Let's do it.
This town would be the same, man.
Yeah. And at one point, I think you even suggested we just come straight into the studio.
Like, I
we
did.
Just
I
stay
said,
out all
I
night.
Said, "Well, go to the casino. Come straight to the studio, man." That's
and a good hour later, we were like.
And I went, oh, yeah, I'm tired.
No, I've seen my bed now, so I think I might just get in there.
Yeah, I checked in the hotel and went, no, I'm not doing it.
Not good.
How old are you?
So,
well, I identify as a 70-year-old man.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm identifying as an older person.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm exactly the same. Also, I did think, because the Tony Bellew fight was on last night in Manchester.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of boxing fans knocking
right.
about. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know a lot about boxing either way.
Oh, no, I thought you were a bit roughy-tufty.
I'm going to do like a bit of roughy-tufty.
Yeah,
I think the fact we call it roughy-tufty means we're not traditional boxing
what?
Fans.
What?
I've come for the roughy-tufty. You've been in musicals
yeah,
too long.
I use the Gainsborough rules. I didn't know that.
And I just thought, do I want to be in the city centre of Manchester with a lot of people spilling out of a...
Yeah.
An arena after watching a fight.
Well, I came off the train from Birmingham and it was an interesting, because it was a mixture of some football fans.
Oh, yeah.
Who'd been down in Yeovil or something like that.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I don't know who they were. Were they Macclesfield? Right. Was it Macclesfield?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't watch football.
No.
Okay.
I don't watch that
It was
football.
A mixture of them and boxing.
Wow.
Chumps, I want to say. But you got to be careful.
Yeah, I think chumps is a good word.
Yeah, but they're not going to be awake at this time.
No, they're still out.
Chumps.
Most of them are in prison cells.
They
don't get the radio in the prison.
Go, what did I do, Tony? I don't know, Dave.
There'll be a lot of that going
yeah.
on. There'll be a lot of that.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
You are awake.
I am really wide awake.
Done really well. I wasn't. I stupidly had that like anxiety all night of like, I'm going to get up late. I'm going to get up late. And so I kept waking up throughout the night. And then I got up late.
Oh, yeah.
So I did, and I was actually late for my own show this morning. I wouldn't normally admit it.
You weren't late.
No.
You're here on time.
I mean,
you're
I did listen to the first song of my show in the car.
You're
so
right.
I thought, hang on a minute, that's not right.
Right, okay.
The Jason Manford show. I was like, oh, I probably should park.
Yeah.
But we're here for the first link.
Yeah, sure. Well, this could be a pre-record. You don't know. We could have done
been.
This last week.
Yeah, although we have to say it now. You're not allowed to pretend. There was a time in radio where you would...
Is that right?
Yeah, they used to pretend all the time. It'd be, we're live here and all that. But now you can't.
Why not? I didn't know that.
I think it's something to do with the text, like, because, you know, people can't, if people are texting in and then you're not really
there.
Oh,
I see, right.
Stuff like that.
Oh, right.
And also...
But I did one recently, I did an interview recently. They said, well, this is for Thursday, so don't, can we pretend that it's Thursday?
Gosh.
Yeah. Sorry, that was on the BBC.
They're a law unto themselves.
Yeah,
they broke radio in the first place.
Yeah, they did. They invented the radio, darling.
Probably, yeah. 8:12:15 on the text this morning. If you're around, it'd be lovely to hear from you. Wendy says, morning, guys. My kiddies have got me up wanting to go to Chester Zoo today. So can you give a shout out to Max and Ava?
Yay. Hello, Max. Hello, Ava.
It's
Is there pandas at that zoo?
Is there pandas at Chester Zoo?
Is it at the Chester Zoo?
I don't
zoo?
Think there is at
no.
Chester.
No.
But, I mean, it's a great zoo.
I hear.
It's a big one. It's a big one, all right. You're there for it. It's a good day.
There's a place in Chester. It's called the Salt Museum.
All right.
Have you been to the Chester Salt Museum?
Is it? Well, I think it is.
As a comedian, yes, it's a salt where they make salt.
Oh, okay.
And it's the Chester's famous for its salt. Did you not know this?
I did not know this.
How dare you say? I'm not even British.
No.
You know, as a comedian, you travel around, you see something to do. So they've got this thing where you can lick. There's a thing you can lick it, and it tells you your salt.
It's somebody's house.
No, it's the salt museum.
Like you've been tricked.
It's the Chester Salt Museum.
Just come and lick this wall.
It's a great big tongue. It's a big tongue-shaped thing, and you lick it, tells you the salt content, your salt content. I'm not making it up.
No, I believe you.
It could have just been a farmyard.
Yeah, I also think it doesn't sound hygienic.
Google it.
I will Google
it. It's not hygienic not to Google that.
I know that. That's facts.
You just don't. You can go to the Chester. Take Ava and Max to the Chester Salt Museum.
Yeah, while you're there.
Why not?
Pop in. Gary in Wolverhampton here says, I was up at 5 this morning to come to work after seeing Phil Nicol in Birmingham last night.
No.
He serenaded me on the front row. He was amazing as always.
Oh, that's awesome. Who's that?
That was Gary in Wolverhampton.
Oh, Gary. Hello, Gary.
Do you remember?
Thank you so much. If Gary was there with his wife. Hi, Gary. Oh, hello, Gary. It's so nice to hear from you again.
Yeah. Glad we're still friends.
I'm glad you still like me, Gary. And I can only apologize live on radio.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great show, though. It was a fun show.
Live in the moment. What are you going to do, man?
Yeah, man. The Birmingham Mac. It's part of my tour.
Yes, you are on tour.
I am on tour.
And the tour's called?
You're Wrong.
Yeah.
Spelled Y-O-U-R.
I like it.
You do, I know. It irritates people.
It does irritate me. Every time I see the poster, I'm like, I see.
What's really funny is when people could correct me online and go, hey, shouldn't it be Y-O-U above your ear? Like, yes. It should be if you weren't a loser.
So you're touring for how long?
I'm finishing the tour at the Soho Theatre on December 1st.
Very nice.
I've got to run five shows there from the 27th.
Right. Well, I could not recommend that more highly. Phil is one of the best comics I've ever worked with.
Thank you,
fantastic.
Jason.
We were very lucky to get him on the show today. We've done many gigs together all over the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have. We were in Dubai together once.
Dubai Comedy Festival. The Jim Davidson Comedy Festival.
The Jim Davidson Comedy Festival.
Crikey, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
What were we thinking about getting paid?
I don't know. Well, yeah. We were in these hotels that were so lavish that Kerry Marks, as a friend of mine, said, you could ring down to the front desk and say, I'd like an elephant brought to my room, please. And they would say, African or Indian, sir?
It was that sort of place.
It was that sort of place.
Yeah, I can't believe anyone made any money out of that.
No one made any money.
Death in the desert, I think we called it in the end.
Death in the desert, that's right.
It was a mixture of like new comics, or modern comic, I guess, and like your old school.
Yeah, Frank Carson. Yeah. Did you do a joke about the Irish tourist board, or you did it at the joke?
I think I had a joke at the time.
Yeah. Tell the story. This is good.
I think I had a joke at the time where I said, crikey, I'm trying to remember the phrasing of it.
Well, yes, exactly. It's a tricky.
I think what it was that the fact is there are more Irish people in the rest of the world than there is in Ireland.
Yes.
So the tourist board slogan was, Ireland, we're not all there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it was just a silly sort of play on words.
And Frank Carson stood up and went, I'm having that.
And he did. Nothing I can do. He pulled rank.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Oh. Phil Nicol's here. Doing the accent.
I know I'm doing the accent.
You're freaking me out.
It's Richard Olley, mate.
Do your voice.
No, I'm not doing my voice anymore. I'm going to do the rest of the interview in Sheffield.
Well, you had to do an accent for your musical, didn't you?
Yeah, I did do an accent. I was in a musical called Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
I know.
Well.
It was
massive.
It's huge. It's actually, it's now streamed into cinemas.
Unbelievable.
You know the live theatre streamings?
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
streaming was so successful, 650 plus cinemas, that it broke box office records for the single viewing of a theatre piece.
That's amazing.
And that's been sold all over the world.
So tell everybody what the show was about.
Well, the show was based on a true story about a boy named Jamie Campbell, who was actually from County Durham, but it was transferred to Sheffield to be performed at the Crucible. So it's set in Sheffield. And Jamie Campbell was, and when he was 15 and a half years old, he rang Channel 4 and said, my name's Jamie, I want to be a drag queen, and you should make a documentary about me. So Firecracker Documentaries were handed the job, and they made a documentary about him. And this kid lived with his mum in a council estate.
Wow.
And his mum, Margaret's an amazing woman. They really are an amazing couple. couple.
Really? Wow.
They're not a couple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple of people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, they are from County Durham, though, so it's, you have to clarify that. sorry, Durham.
Are you touring there?
No, I'm not going to
no,
Durham.
I can
I've,
tell.
Already, I've already done my Newcastle
The confidence
gig.
Of a comedian not playing that town, whereas I'm like, obviously, I don't stand by any of those. And my ticket's on sale for the Newcastle Arena.
I've already done my gigs in the Northeast. No, so it's about the boy, Jamie Campbell, who wants to become a drag queen. And he wants to go to the prom wearing a dress.
Wow.
And it's about this, what happens at the school.
Yeah.
But, of course, in the actual documentary, they're not allowed to show the school. They're allowed to show him and his mates and the people around
but
it.
In the musical.
In the musical. It's all about, so it's like Billy Elliot.
Brilliant. That sounds great.
Billy Elliot with drag queens. And I played Hugo, the Mr. Miyagi type character, who was his mentor.
Oh, you know? Nice.
Yes.
Did you get to dress up?
Blush on, blush off. That's my little thing. Nice. They wouldn't put it in the script. Wax on, wax off. Come on, man.
Did you get to drag up then?
I had to drag up, yeah, every night. So there was a quick change. My wig and makeup person just did a 16-minute quick change to make me go from a man to a woman.
Yes. I saw you on your Instagram, your Twitter pictures on occasion. Of you.
Yeah. What do you think? You kind of fancy me, don't you?
I've got to tell you, I was confused.
You were confused. You were.
I was confused a few times. I was like, oh, hello.
Hello, Phil. That's a new Phil Nichol. I know. I wish I had the effort. You know, this is why I know that it's not for me, because the effort.
Yeah.
To go into it. But the three queens that were in the show with me are all professional drag queens. They're so good. They're so amazing.
Yeah,
they put so much time and effort into it. And they really care.
Mm.
Genuinely lovely, lovely, lovely men.
And the show, the audiences just loved it. And
They do. The audience is still running. It's on in the West End at the Apollo Theatre. Michelle Visage from RuPaul's Drag Race has just joined the cast as the teacher, Ms. Hedge. It's got an all-star cast.
Yeah, and it's going to tour.
I think it's going to tour, yeah, absolutely.
And would you go back into it again at some point?
Well, you know what? They've asked me if I'd be interested, but because I'm doing this tour and I've got some dates, international dates next year, I don't know when I'd be able to.
Yeah.
There's talk of an international tour of Jamie, though.
Oh.
Maybe you and I could do drag together.
Hey, I would love to do that.
You know, you'd be amazing.
I think I'd look pretty good as
well. You'd be amazing.
And I already have the breasts.
Yeah, you'd think you'd look.
I've actor's own.
I have my own. I bring my own, yeah.
Don't worry.
What can you bring to this part? These, baby. Jason.
Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters. Anna Ray Walsey's message in. She says, oh my goodness, Jason. I can't believe Phil was in Everybody's Talking About Jamie. I saw it streamed into my local cinema in New Brighton.
Wow.
I loved it so much. Amazing. As a mother, it hit me hard as his mum supports him so selflessly while she's so terrified for him. I can only hope one day that it's a completely ironic show and that my children see it when they're grown up and think, why was this even an issue?
Well, that's great. Well, that's very astute of her to say that, actually, because it should be the norm and it should be acceptable. But I guess that's part of the steps we're taking. And we are living in that day and age of moving towards some kind of understanding for people's sexualities. I think it was just unspoken. Coming from the Victorian age, it just has taken a long time for us to speak about it and accept that there's a breadth of sexuality.
Of course, yeah. I think, and also,
I identify as a turtle, so I
identify as somebody richer than me with less children.
I identify as your very best friend, rich to the rich guy, your mate that hangs around.
Well, I mean, the problem is when you get people sort of abusing the system, I guess. You know?
Yeah. I suppose.
That's sort of when it comes to it.
If you're a really lazy person identifying as someone that's a go-getter.
Yeah, or like a prisoner identifies as someone who's free.
Free, that's right.
Yeah, this is where it's going to get stupid. And that's why...
I identify as your surgeon. No, yes. No, thank you.
So there's this story this week about a guy called Emil Rattleband. You'll have all seen it. That's his actual name.
I know, but just made me laugh. Emil Rattleband.
So this, you'll have all seen this story because it's been massive for weeks. So this idiot is... am I allowed to say that? I don't know. Anyway, he's a 60... This is his job title. And you tell me.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
69-year-old positivity guru.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Positivity guru.
Shut up. Not a job.
Positivity
guru. And we're comedians. Yeah, no. I don't get to say that about anyone.
I'm a positivity guru.
Yeah, but
as comedians, we're positivity gurus.
Positivity.
Maybe he's a comedian.
Maybe that's his way of saying it.
What?
He's a laughter therapist.
No, exactly.
Not that.
You know, they say that about you're a sort of a rubbish man. You're a... a waste disposal expert.
Yes.
Is that maybe? So what's positivity? Positivity,
I don't know what
guru
it means.
Is like a, he's likes to tickle you.
Not if he can't get a chance by all accounts. The story goes, he says doctors have told him that he has a 45-year-old's body. His body, not in the fridge. And he wants to be younger. Rathband is suing his local authority after they refuse to amend his age.
Suing them?
Suing them. He's gone to actual court. The 69-year-old, let me read this to you, right? It's unbelievable. It gets worse. The 69-year-old Dutchman is battling to legally reduce his age by 20 years so he can get more work and attract more women on Tinder.
Oh, there we go.
There
you
go. That's the crux of it.
There's the button.
I love the fact that he thinks it is his age. I don't know if you've seen the picture of him.
But what bugs me about that is doctor's probably gone, oh, here he is again. Oh, you look great. You got the body of a 45-year-old. And he's like, I am 45.
He's got the body of a 45-year-old, fine, but he's got the face of Rolf Harris, and that's not going to get you pulled. That's not going to let you pull anyone on Tinder, mate.
No.
He argues, and this is, you know, joking apart, but this is where it gets into like a... because it's so ridiculous.
It's making me laugh.
So this is where it gets worrying, because he says, well, if transgender people are allowed to change sex, he should be allowed to change his date of birth because doctors said that his body's 45 years old.
What?
Yeah, this is the leap he's made.
No. That's ridiculous.
Not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Your birth is an actual fact in history.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, what's that mean to his mother?
Yeah.
How old was his mother when he was born? That poor old woman.
Yeah, she was minus two. It's crazy, isn't it? So he was born on the 11th of March, 1949, but says he feels 20 years younger and wants to change his birth date to 11th of March, 1969.
Amazing.
I like the fact he's not actually changing his birthday. He's like, oh, no, I quite like the 11th of March bit.
I don't mind the 11th of March.
No, quite like that.
Yeah, why don't make the 10th of March? You could make it anything. That's
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't do that. Also, what would be beautiful, in a way, is that if he did manage on... I don't know why he doesn't just do what everybody else does on Tinder and lie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe he's... I don't understand that.
My hope is that...
And he's 69, which is the perfect age for Tinder.
Yeah, exactly. That comes up. You're like, swipe left. You know? What I hope is that he one day matches to someone 25 who's actually... an 80-year-old grandma.
That's what I think, yeah. I think someone is identifying, some 90-year-old who's identifying as a 25-year-old. Perfect.
Idiots alert! I love it when I get an idiot in the world, because you can't, often these days, you don't get genuine nutters anymore.
No, it's just, my mind is boggling about what he actually, how he actually gets through his life.
Well, I just worry that it's one of them situations where... What they've obviously done, and you hear it all the time, don't you? Or I identify as a shark, or whatever.
Yeah,
like it's not the same. You can't change that.
No, I identify as a professional footballer for Tinder.
Yeah, you can't do these things.
You know, and the thing is that it's really a bit degrading to trans people.
Well, that's the problem.
And what they actually have to go through to not only discover that they are trans, but then have to be able to express it to other people and then be accepted. I mean, it must be very difficult.
Yeah, it's not the same thing at all.
No,
saying I'm younger. We all feel younger or older on different days.
Yeah. No, I always feel younger. I feel like I'm like a 14-year-old boy trapped in a 53-year-old man's body. I am.
Well, more from Phil coming up next. Jason.
Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
I realised halfway through that last chat we were like two just straight white guys.
we were going,
hey. Here's our opinion.
Well, the thing is, it's difficult, isn't it?
It is
because,
tough, yeah.
Because I don't want to be degrading to anyone.
No, well,
you know,
I've helped us out here,
and it's such an easy thing to tip over and as comedians as well. I mean, I like to make fun of everything.
Yes, of course,
there's no subject that's out of bounds for me. If it's funny, it's funny.
Yeah,
but this is quite a sensitive issue, and it is a very timely issue.
Well, it's tough, isn't it, when you're on stage sometimes, because there are so many things you can be doing jokes about, and somebody, like the other night, somebody got offended because one of the support acts did a joke about asthma.
You're all right.
I was like, okay, I get it.
You make fun of me.
So I get it, like, because it's not, you know, it's not nice for you, but like, there's 2,000 people here. Because I've looked through every single person. I get it, you know. Yes. But at the same time, this was such a big story this week. I thought it'd be useful to get an actual take on somebody who has been affected firsthand. And a friend of ours, a comedian friend of ours, Bethany Black, who's a brilliant comic and was also the first transgender actor in a leading role on British television. She was in Russell T Davies' Banana, which was a great show.
I saw that.
Good morning, Beth.
Morning.
Yes, I'm sorry to bring you so early.
I had someone last week, I mentioned on stage that I'm on the autism spectrum, and somebody got really upset and said, you can't talk about that. My kid's autistic.
Yeah, and you're like, well,
I can't talk about me.
So am I. Yeah, that's not how it works.
So, you know, it's all right. I can actually talk about that. No, you can't. But, I am doing.
It's a tricky one, this job, sometimes. So, Beth, you must have read this story this week and immediately gone, oh, brilliant.
I went, oh, God. Yeah, I went, oh, for God's sake. Rolled my eyes so hard that I nearly went blind. And went, oh, this again. Because this happens every now and again. Someone will say something like this. Go, oh, I'm an attack helicopter. Oh, I'm a shark.
Right.
That's how I identify. I identify as a shark, and you've got to respect my wishes, and you just go, oh, really big. Yeah, well done. Nice of you to... nice that you've decided that this is the thing that you want to go with. And it's often it's done. It feels like it... Well, it's the thing that people seem to think that it's well, if someone could do that, why... If someone
if they could do that, why can't I do this? I identify as someone who's not got a job, and I have to go to work today. You're like, that's... Yeah.
I identify as the queen.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And you're all fired.
That's it, but it's not about identifying.
No.
I think that that's where the language in it goes really lets it down. Because it's more like age, especially like with this guy who says, you know, I'm not 69, I'm
45,
And you go, well, fine, lie about your age, carry on doing that. Russell Kane's been doing it for years. You know, that's okay if you want to do that. The thing is that age is a process. Age is something that you go through, as you know, and your body will be affected by the aging process. This is a thing that will happen to you. Like, there's no way if you were to go and take him off into a laboratory and do tests on him, and you go, oh, actually, no, you're absolutely right. All of our tests show that your body is 45.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, Bethany, if they did do that and they were able to prove it, then we would all go, oh, fair enough, he is 45. But we all know that it's not true.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a guy, and what exactly is the thing that he's sort of finding himself being oppressed for being 69?
Well, that's the other thing, I think, is that there's no negative outcome for him. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have to go through any process of going. He's not going to go to his family and go, guys, mum, dad, I'm 45. Like, it's not. It's sort of disrespectful to everyone who's ever had to do that.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And
that's it. Because that's like growing up, that was the thing that was the biggest fear for me. I slowly went mad. I didn't want to tell anyone because I kind of knew from everything I'd seen in the media that it would mean that no one in my family would want anything further to do with me.
Yeah.
And so I drank a lot and I did loads of other stuff to just sort of try and either put it off, try and bury it, or to try and reach the point where if I did eventually come out, that none of my family would want anything further to do with me.
Mm.
So it wouldn't be sort of be, oh, right, okay, you know, we've disowned you anyway, so this isn't a problem. And it didn't work out like that. But the mental scars and the stuff that I've had to deal with as a result of that, get to that point, have affected me every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but think about him, Bethany. Think about him.
Yeah,
he's going to have to tell his 46-year-old son that he's...
Yeah, younger than him.
You know what I mean? And that he's sleeping with the guy's girlfriend.
Yeah, when's that happened? Since
Well, Beth, thanks for coming on this morning and having a little chat with us.
Right.
I hope everything's going well for you, and I'll speak to you soon.
Love you, Beth. Yeah. See you later.
Take care.
Music matters.
I want to know, if it ever happens, which it won't, if it ever happens and you were able to identify as a different age, what age would you go for?
Ooh,
okay.
Me.
Have a little think about that over the news. 8, 12, 15 on the text. What would you do? Or would you change your kid's age or your parents' age? What would you do? Is there a perfect age? Would you go older? Would you go younger? 8, 12, 15 on the text.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Phil Nichols
yeah,
here.
I'm here, yeah. You were having a little sing-song there as well.
I was having a little sing-song. Can't help it.
Yeah. No, you sing a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
You're a trained singer. Did you train?
I didn't originally, no.
How did you come up with that voice? That voice is... I don't want to blow smoke, but that's beautiful.
My family are all singers. But when I was a kid, we used to spend all, like, Sunday at the pub watching my nana's band. My nana was a lead singer of a band. She came over to Manchester in the 50s from Dublin, her and my granddad, and they were a little folk duo.
What were they called?
They were just the two of them at the time, just their names. And then they became the Ryan Family Show Band.
Wow.
Yeah, so she had 11 kids, and she trained them all to play instruments and harmonise. And they were just this ridiculous...
Did they do the dancing and stuff as well?
I don't know if there was much dancing going on. There was a lot of drinking.
What, the kids?
Yeah, and there was a lot of... And then as they got older as well, like, there's weird things that you remember, like, in the pubs like that. I remember, like, my uncle Gary playing the bass, dum, 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 and just, like, in the strings of the bass, just his cigarette, just in, like, just, like, ready for the end of the song. Like,
yeah, he can't wait.
Yeah,
and so that's so singing a lot is good for you, though, isn't it?
So, yeah, so just sing, I suppose, from an early age, singing along and, you know, doing that. Yeah. I used to get up with my nan and sing these Irish songs, or country and western songs and that.
Well, that's funny.
It was great fun. And then I just sort of got to a point where... I did a thing on ITV, a thing called Born to Shine, which was like it was for Save the Children. It was like a charity thing, but it was like learn a new skill. You know, celebrities learning new skills. Like Jenny Bond learnt the xylophone, and so somebody else learned river dance or whatever. Right. And I had to learn how to opera sing.
Oh, wow.
And it was just after my twins were born, so I was sort of off work.
Okay.
And so I had loads of time.
Right.
And there was a local woman here in Salford, and who was an opera singer and teacher, and they said, use her as much as you want.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, I will. But I think they thought I'd use her about three times. I used her every day for 2 months.
Well, why not?
On their dime.
Well, how long ago was that?
That was about, crikey, that was 8 years ago.
Why? Because you can hear it. You can hear it now. I mean, I don't know if you've always been able to sing that like that. But
no, I've definitely improved. Well,
I mean, it's an obvious difference between I sing because my singing was I went to church 5 times a week till I was 15 or something. Our family sang hymns all the time, but I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music or watch TV or films.
Your family born again Christians.
Yeah. But like devout born again Christians, the Brethren Assembly.
Wow.
It's like really the hymns are. you have to sing. So I was.
Your town like Footloose.
Yeah, exactly. You should see me, Dad. It got to cut loose. I was a bit like that. No, I grew up in a place called Pickering.
Have they seen your act?
No, they have not.
I bet they haven't.
They've never seen my act. They have not ever seen my act.
Oh, my goodness.
I talk about that in my tour show. I've got a great story because I appeared on the Weakest Link. I was on the charity Comedians Weakest Link with Anne Robinson.
Right.
You know, the one with the face.
Yeah.
And I did a show in Edinburgh that year called The Naked Racist.
Yes, that's right.
And it's a true story. But at the end of The Naked Racist, I chased Nazi skinheads naked down the streets of Amsterdam about 2:30 in the morning. And to illustrate the point in the show, I used to take my clothes off and then run into the audience naked.
Yes.
So Anne Robinson, you know, she makes fun of the guests. She goes, you know, Phil Nichol, you're not funny if you're not naked. Phil Nichol can't be funny if he's not naked, right? So I got down to the final four. I was on with Frank Carson, it's the way I tell him, and Ed Byrne, it's the way I tell him. And I said to, if I got voted off, I turned to the studio audience and said, you might not know this about The Weakest Link, but in between rounds, they take Anne off and they tighten her face and they bring her, they bring her back on, right? So Rob Deering was going to get me voted off. So I said, if I get voted off, I'm going to make Anne Robinson laugh. So I got voted off and she took great pleasure in saying, Phil Nichol, you're The Weakest Link, goodbye. So I stood to one side, took all my clothes off, walked past her, and they pixelated it.
Oh, amazing.
One pixel.
Did she laugh?
No. She howled with laughter. She was like, she totally lost it. But then the studio manager came over and said, we loved it. We thought it was hilarious, but when you took your mic, your shirt off, you didn't tell us you were going to do it. The mic pack hit the ground and made a noise.
Oh, no.
So we're going to have to reshoot it, put your clothes back on.
Stop it.
And then they took her off, they brought her back on, and they did it again, and she totally straight-faced me.
Oh, no.
And she made some joke, you are the smallest link, goodbye. But that got me on the top 10 TV moments of the BBC, top 10
Lovely.
TV moments, right, at the end of the
Happy
year,
days.
Which they show in Canada, which my mum and dad saw. So I got a call from my father. He's furious. Philip, your mother and I are absolutely furious. And I go, why? Because we are watching The Weakest Link. And I said, oh, no, did you watch it at the end? I certainly did watch it till the end. Your mother's in bits. And you'd hear my mum screaming from another room, you're a dirty, dirty wee bosom. You're a dirty, dirty wee man. You're not my son. I must have dropped you when you were hot. Right? And then I'm apologising. I can only apologise. And my dad goes, we don't want your explanation. We want an apology. Because when your mother was so excited to see you on The Weakest Link, she's gone off and called all of her friends from the church. And they've all seen you. Oh, no. My mum's, you're a shame to the family. But that's my son. One pixel.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Unless your parents were Scottish.
Yeah, I am. My father's from Clydebank. My mother is from Calvin Grove.
You just moved to Canada and...
Moved to Canada when I was about five. My father's a builder.
Oh, okay.
And in the 70s, late 60s and 70s, Canada was offering men money to move to Canada. Scotsmen and a lot of Scots and a lot of Northern Irishmen moved there, yeah.
But they must be proud of you sometimes.
That's so typical of Scottish. Money, right. How much? I'm there. No. Cheerio. Bye, everyone. Bye, Mum. Take the whole family. No, my family, like, I grew up in a place called Cumbernauld, which is kind of known as being a bit of a rough place.
Right.
My father, to give us a better life, he moved us to Pickering, which is home of the world's largest nuclear plant.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, and it's still better than Cumbernauld. 8 reactors big. No effect on me whatsoever. Sorry, these are jokes.
So you, but you've made your mum proud since then, haven't you? Not just The Weakest Link moment.
Well, the Naked Racist, it was The Naked Racist, yeah. That same year, shortly thereafter, I got invited to part of winning. I won the Comedy Award.
Yes, I remember.
In Edinburgh, it was the Perrier Award. And then the year I won it became the IFDOT Comedy Award, sponsored by Halifax Banks. And then the financial crash happened. So I'm like the George Lazenby of Comedy Award winners. but part of going to the award was I got invited to Buckingham Palace.
Right.
They do an event where they do give a little. A party.
Don't tell me you got naked.
No, I didn't. That's my mother. I flew my mother from Canada. I flew my mum and dad from Canada, and I combed my hair and everything. And I took that. Me and my mum really proud. You've never combed your hair. You'll comb your hair for the Queen, will you? You'll not comb your hair for me when I ask you. Anyway, so on all the way there, and you don't know. I don't know. I didn't know this, but it's all the Black Watch or the guards all the way up. So my mum and I were the first in line, and I got a nice suit made. A friend of mine on Savaro made me a nice suit cheap, and I comb my hair, and I'm with my mum, and she's telling all the guards all the way up. Have you heard this joke? She's telling them all jokes all the way up. She's wired. My mother is like, she's so excited, so she's gonna meet the Queen. And then it's obviously like a casual event, but they do two greeting lines, and they put my mum and myself at the top, and I had a little thing that said comedian on it. And I said to mum, the guy said the Queen's gonna ask you why you're here and what you've done. And I said to mum, well, I'll tell her that I'm a stripper. I've taken all my clothes. My mum, don't you dare do that to me. She hits me. My mum hits me and makes the words at the same time. So my mum's hit me. Go, don't you dare, Philip. You embarrass me in front of the Queen. Mum, I'm not going to embarrass you in front of the Queen. So it's over the means. My mum's a working class.
Of course,
But the thing is, my parents are. I like to say in the show, I'm a realist, not a royalist. But for my mother's sake, my mother is 90 years old next year. She was in Glasgow when it was being bombed by the V2 rockets. She tells me stories of being hiding. She tells me a story of being separated from her sister when the alarms went off, and hiding in the coal shed under the stairs, being covered. And when they came home, thinking everyone was gone and dead. So and then the royal family would come on the radio and say, "It's going to be okay. We just stand strong, stay together." And so I'm giving goosebumps. There.
Yeah, of course.
So my mother, to her,
you can see why,
to meet this woman. Was the highlight of her life.
Wow.
And I've got two older brothers who are married with children who live 10 minutes either side of them. And I have gone around the world, become a rock and roll comedian, done everything I ever want to do, don't have kids, lived the life of Riley, and I suddenly became son number one.
Yes!
Yeah!
Result!
But then I told that, it said that in a show of mine, and my mum rang me and went, oh, you think you're son number one, do you? You'll never be son number one to me. I treat you all the same. I don't know where you get that from. You're like your father. You're arrogant.
She sounds divine.
She is fantastic, my mother. My mother, she went to meet the Queen, and it was fantastic. They had a lovely talk. The Queen is an absolutely adorable woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just, they talked for quite a long time. And she said, I'd like to talk to Ethel. My mum's name is Ethel. Ethel May Dougal. So I'd like to move on. So my mother went around, and Prince Andrew was there. My brother's name is Andrew. So she went up to Andrew. Andrew's talking to this gorgeous blonde woman. Of course. You know, and my mum grabs his elbow. And I'm going, ooh. She grabs his elbow. And my mum's only about 5 feet tall. So he looks around. He can't see her. like in a cartoon. I'm down here. Now, here you are. You've not come and speak to me. You've invited me all the way to your house for me to visit you. You haven't come and spoken to me yet, Andrew. And I've named my son after you and everything. And I'll tell your mother. And
he's wow. Like
laying into this. And he's really nice going, well, thank you very much.
That's amazing.
And this is great. She's nicking mince pies. Going, and I'm going, do you think the Queen made them herself? Mum, she was in there. She's going, I've got them for your dad. So she's nicked mince pies at the Buckingham Palace.
And she sounds great.
And when she finds out I've told people that, she goes, don't tell anyone.
She'll be mortified again. Well, luckily, we don't go out in Canada. So.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Phil Nicol is my guest.
Yes, I am.
Yes, he is.
I'm really happy to be here.
He's on tour at the moment. You can see him live all over the country.
Yes, it's true, actually. I'm in Coventry tomorrow night.
There you go.
And then I go away to Los Angeles for a little while.
Nice.
And then when I come back, I'm in Norwich.
LA to Norwich.
Yeah, I know. The highlights.
Very much the LA of the UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bizarre Norwich.
And then I'm doing some, and I've got one, I can't remember the one after Norwich, but then I'm doing the Soho Theatre in London.
You've got a run there, haven't you?
The November 27th to December 1st, actually, yeah, at 7:30.
And where can people find out information about your tours?
Well, I've got a website, philnicol.com, you can go to.
Very original.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good name.
I met a guy, this is a true story, in Newcastle this year on the tour. A guy walked up to me and said, hi, my name's Russ. I'm like, hi, Russ. He goes, I'm the guy that you bought your website from. And I was like, what? Because 12 years ago, I couldn't get philnicol.com. I had to go to philnicol.co.uk. And the guy that had it, we could track him down. So this guy came up to me and went, hi, my name's Russell. I'm the guy that owned your website. And I'm like, well, what'd you do that for? And he went, no, I've never bought, I'm not the kind of guy that buys loads of them and then makes money. I just saw you 12 years ago, thought that guy's brilliant, went home, Googled it, realized you hadn't bought it yet. So I bought it thinking, and I was like, what? Why would you do that? Right? Right. Yeah.
Weirdo.
It's like, weirdo. And then he said, and when you finally tracked me down and your agent, you know, got to buy the philnicol.com off me, you paid me £200 and you offered me 4 free tickets to any show. And that was 12 years ago. And I've now seeing your show for the first time for 12 years.
Yeah,
12 years later. I was really annoyed.
Yeah, like,
you've just got the £200 back, mate.
Yeah, and whatever the tickets cost.
Yeah.
Cheeky.
He did. So I made fun of him the whole show.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, well, there's a treat for that. We asked earlier if you could identify as any age, what you would go for. A few people messaged in. Susie from Hawley said, I'd just like to change my date of birth to the 31st of October because then there'd be better parties, Halloween and stuff like that. I don't know what her birthday is at the moment.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were born around Christmas, you'd probably want to go, can I change my birthday to like July?
Yeah. New Year's Eve. I know a couple of people. New Year's Eve.
That's not a good one.
Wah, wah.
No.
Sorry.
Michaela says, I identify, this is, we were talking this morning about this 69-year-old who identifies as a, who says he identifies as a 45-year-old.
Yeah.
She says, I'd like to identify as somebody who can't hear, so I can't hear rubbish like a 65-year-old identifying as a 45-year-old. That makes sense.
That's
it. Sarah, I would change it to 65 so I could retire now and get my pension.
Ooh, that's a nice idea, actually.
Nice
we could all do that.
Yeah, why not? And Yvonne says, Julia said that she wants to be 55, then she can cash in her pension. I want to be 67, then I can retire. The guy who wants to be 45 can work for another 22 years to keep us in pension.
That's very true, actually. We didn't think about that. Maybe we need more older men identifying as younger men.
Keep working.
Yeah. Because there's going to be a pension problem in the country, isn't there? So there's more
very
old,
much is one.
Yeah. There is very much as one, yeah.
Yeah, what would you go for if you could pick an age? Have you had a favorite age where you thought?
I feel like I'm stuck at age 14. I think it's because, you know, if you've been listening to
you're
the
like
program,
Tom Hanks in Big.
I ran away from home. I was raised in this really devout family, Christian family, in the Brethren Assembly. So when I was 17, when I was 14, I started realizing I could listen to like secular music, and I could, you know, take Christian rock albums out of the house and replace them with the Clash of Sandinista and sneak them into the house, and, you know, put that Christian rock album on the side table, Phil Keaggy Resurrection Mass, and then Sandinista on the turntable. If my mum knocked on the door, she'd say, "You okay, son?" I'm like, "Praise the Lord, mother. My daddy was a bank robber." You know. So I think I'm stuck at about that age.
Yeah, I think I feel agree. Like a child.
And I don't have time.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show. Phil Nicholas here. I didn't tell you what I identified as. I think I've always identified older, to be honest.
Yeah.
Always. I'm 37 now, but I'm slowly like approaching my age.
Right. You've always seemed to be like, to me, like the kind of guy that's got it together, that has had it together.
Wow. I've been faking it till I make it. Yeah, that is very
not. No, I don't know. It's just something about you always quite self-assured. And
yeah, I guess so.
Maybe that's just on the outside. But
yeah, I think probably mostly. No, I've always, even when I was like 17, I always felt like I wanted to be a dad. You know, stuff like, which is very unusual for a 17-year-old to be thinking, hey, one day I'd like to settle down and have kids. Like,
I don't know.
You know.
My family, my brother's got four daughters and they all had kids as teenagers.
Well, yes. I mean, I must say, my mum was the same. Like, I was born 2 weeks after her 17th birthday.
Oh, well, okay.
Which, I mean, by Manchester standards, is quite the late start.
exactly. She's a spinster at that point.
Yeah. But, I think in my head I'm probably 50. And
yeah.
I've always been about 13, 15 years older than I actually am for my whole life.
Okay.
Even since I was a child.
So would you like to change that? Are you happy? You're happy with that?
I don't want to be 50.
No.
Because I'd like to slowly catch my own age up. But I think I always have. And I think sometimes you meet like kids, like my daughter's a bit like that. My daughter's already about 40.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the eldest.
You're the eldest. So you had, that's the thing. You learn the responsibility. My brother Stephen is 60 this year.
Right.
He just always seemed like an old man to me.
Yeah, well, maybe that's part of it.
And I'm the youngest.
Yeah, well, my eldest daughter, she's like that. So she's twins, but she's the eldest of the two. And she is very much about 45-year-old woman. In a 9-year-old body.
I think it's really funny. She's twins. But she's the eldest of two, but she's the eldest.
She's the eldest.
She's like
the eldest.
A minute older than the other one. She's like, no, I'm the oldest.
So they cling on to that. I get reminded about that a lot, yeah. But no, she's like, even yesterday, I was like, she was like, what are we having for dinner? I said, I was going to do a bit of salmon. She was like, oh, I prefer sea bass. I was like, you're nine.
Jason.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Phil Nicholas here.
Hello.
Having conversations off air that we cannot have on air.
I don't know. I think we could talk about some of it. But
we're
talking about your family.
Yeah.
Talking about you being the eldest.
Yeah, that's all fine. All that's fine.
That's all good, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you see this story this week about a woman who got... This is... If you're having your breakfast, I can only apologise.
Okay.
So a woman made a cake for a baby shower.
Okay, sounds like a nice thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lovely idea.
Yeah.
Do not question this, right? So she basically made the cake. Can you see that picture there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she made the cake of the baby coming out, being given
being
birth
born.
To. And the cake is that exact moment, including a little bit of extra that nobody wants to talk about.
No.
I'm going to skip past that bit.
What?
Cake-O-Rama in Loughton in Wigan. Is what it's called. With a little bit of poo as well.
Oh, a little bit of chocolate.
Yes, essentially.
A little bit of chocolate.
But like,
no,
coming out of like properly, it's properly detailed. Like I've seen.
You guys be like, I like chocolate, me.
Yeah.
Who
wants a piece of this on the way home? She baked it using traditional sponge. Added buttercream and strawberry jam, chocolate sprinkles for the hair, and fondant to make the emerging from the.
Right.
A doll's head was used to represent the actual baby.
Wow. Wow.
It's an actual baby shower.
Hey, remember this?
Yeah,
but also. Get the forks.
How do you slice through it? Like, there's so many questions.
Yeah. Oh. Cesarean baby.
That was
caesarean cake.
That's disgusting.
That's amazing.
I say disgusting. That's because it's gluten free.
But
no, I didn't. Nice. Sure, it tastes lovely.
Ooh. Think of those extreme cake makers now, though.
Yes. But, I mean, who watches an episode of One Born Every Minute and thinks, I'm a bit peckish?
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that cake on the Great British Bake Off. I've done this.
We're doing childbirth week.
Yeah, this is my placenta profiteroles.
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, if you get a chance to pop on Google, just Google the baby shower.
Baby shower, baby born
baby
cake.
Shower cake, yes.
Wow.
That's been in the news this week, but cry, honestly, it's like Saving Private Ryan with buttercream. Honestly, never seen anything like it. Terrifying. Absolutely. I'm traumatised. And I like cake.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Absolutely, I do. But even I'd be like, I'm actually all right.
Yeah, thanks. I think you probably, for the first minute, then you'd be like, actually, give us some of that. I'll have some of that.
Just the edge. I'll just have the edge of it, yeah. It'd be absolutely fine. 8:12:15 is the text this morning. If you're up and about, it'd be lovely to hear from you. Coming up after 10, we're going to be talking about being sacked. There was a story this week about some people doing something quite unusual at work and getting sacked for it. So I'm looking for your stories. The most random reason you got sacked.
Where real music matters.
I was going to talk about being sacked. Different people have been sacked this morning, but after we posted little picture on Twitter just now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to read these. Phil.
Okay, oh, no, read them, please.
There's some people judging your appearance here.
Mine.
Yes, Phil. Listen
Why?
To this.
Why?
This is Nikki in London.
Sorry, Nikki.
Wow. Just saw the picture of you and Phil on Twitter. Not heard or seen of Phil before, but he is an absolute hottie.
What?
Right?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a one-off, because Nikki messages in a lot. She, you know, she's that sort of person. So I sort of thought, she doesn't mean it.
Yeah.
And then Sue from The Wirral. Great show as always, Jason, but I have to say, just Googled Phil. One word. Hot.
No, you're making that up.
Mate, I wouldn't make it up, I promise you. I'm reading it off the screen right now.
This is Sunday morning. This is my Sunday morning look,
mate.
Right?
I think that's what women like.
Yeah, an old man with a 14-year-old heart. It was actually the producer, Joe's great photography, I think.
They must have been.
Yes.
You're a good-looking fella.
And he's photoshopped it. He's done that face chain. He's made my eyes bigger, my teeth whiter.
So you
made me think there was going to be loads of them. There was two.
There's two, but that's still quite... that's more than we've ever had. Well, I've been doing the show 3 years, and that's two more compliments than I've had.
You're a hottie in my mind.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Only in your mind. But I just wanted to apologise, really, on behalf of these listeners who are looking at you. Like, Phil's a human being, man. He's not a piece of meat.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? He's got other things going for him. It's not just what he looks like. That's not what's important.
Exactly.
About Phil.
You can buy my albums on iTunes. You can, if you think I'm hot, you should.
Yeah. Google, you know. The only gay Eskimos out there. Yeah, man.
People tease me all the time and tell me that I look like Robert Downey Jr. or something like that. I always think they're winding me up.
Yeah, you've got a look of Downey Jr.
That's just because I've got a beard.
Yeah, and you're
it's
old.
Just a beard, and I'm old. We're the same age. I think I'm a month older than he is.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the thing is, if you know, in Iron Man 3, there was a scene where he loses all his army, goes into the back of a news van, and there's a guy in there goes, oh my goodness, Tony Stark, I want to look like you, I want to be like you. And this guy, and I look way more like Robert Downey Jr. than that actor, and I didn't get the part. I didn't even get an audition. I'm not happy.
You look a bit like Robert Downey Jr. I'm getting people tweeting me, telling me that their plus net broadband's gone down.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
I'm getting more messages in here.
Yeah, yeah. So about how hot you are. You had one well. You said there was one that said you're hot as well.
I got no, and then the next one was from.
Did they spell hot? A-W-H-A-W-T. That's what I want to be.
That's what you were. You were H A W T.
That was not.
I got Daniel Smith on Twitter. Danielle Smith on Twitter saying, "Grow your beard back." I was like,
"All right, thanks."
And then my ex-wife literally just texted me. She's taking the kids to swimming this morning, and she said, The votes, this is from my actual daughters, Phil.
Right.
Phil Nichols hot, one vote. Phil Nichols not hot, two votes.
Oh.
I mean, to be fair, they're you know, they're kids.
Look at me going, oh, come on, you guys. What am I going to do?
And then I think he's hot too. So if you, you know.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
So,
family affair.
So, yeah, so two listeners and your family.
And my whole family.
Oh, well, it did make me feel good for a moment. It gave me hope.
So there was a story this week in the paper.
Yeah.
And, well, you've seen it. It was a huge story. It was originally we all thought it was sort of true that this the Ryanair staff had been made to sleep on the floor in an airport.
Right.
These or pilots and whatnot. Anyway, it turns out it was a bit of a hoax. And they'd done it to prove a point, I think, because they weren't given great accommodation or whatnot. So they'd done it to prove a point.
What do you mean? They were put in like a cheap low-budget hotel?
Yeah, I presume so, yeah. Or not even that good, I don't think, you know. So for whatever it was, I think they ended up not even getting that. But for whatever reason, they faked this photo. And there's photo. The embarrassing bit is there's a still from the CCTV camera of them faking the photo.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And so, of course, they got sacked.
Yeah.
They got sacked.
Of course.
There's a bit of an uproar and all that sort of stuff, and as there always is. But I just thought there's always something in there. I think everyone's got, most people, because I know you haven't, most people have got in them a story of sacking, like a moment where you... Where you got? You have a little scratch there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear that?
Yeah, can I hear that?
So,
yeah.
Sorry.
Like, what is that noise?
Well, I've got because I shaved my chest when I was doing Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
Oh, I see.
Because I was playing a drag queen in the show.
Right.
So I'd shave my chest, shave my legs, and kind of wear a dress.
Yeah.
And it's been growing back in, and it still just make I've got a quite a hairy chest, and so it's hello ladies.
This guy just gets more.
Let's make love on the rug.
HJWT.
Yeah, with the guy with the itchy chest.
Tell me more.
You.
And so I was thinking about getting sacked. There's so many stories of getting sacked, moments where you got sacked. I once got sacked from a well-known burger restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. If imagine, like, the king of them.
Right.
Have I given too much away?
Right.
And that was because, so you worked these long shifts, you know, they were like sort of 11-hour days, stood up like with the fryer and all that sort of stuff at the back there. I was only 17, 18.
Yeah.
And I remember one time putting, you got like a kid's meal for your lunch. That's what you were allowed for your dinner. Like.
Right, okay.
And and you had to make it yourself, of course. So I was making the burger myself and I put cheese on it.
Yeah.
And then the manager came over. Can I just have an inspector of your burger?
No.
And I said,
no.
Yeah, all right. So I showed her my burger. She opened the bun.
Yeah.
And she peeled the cheese off.
What?
Put it in the bin, Phil, and said, you're not allowed cheese.
What?
I know.
What?
Just tell
me. That's nuts. Exactly. Let me take it off myself even.
Yeah.
It's already on the burger.
It's already
on
there.
It's too late.
I'll do it next time.
Exactly.
Also, have you tasted these burgers with no cheese?
Exactly. How much is that slice of cheese worth? About one half a piece.
Yes. And so I was like, okay. And she said, you'll have to just have it like that. I said, well, I'm not eating it. So I got in the right mood about it.
Oh, yeah, bet you would.
I'd only been there. I worked there for a weekend, Phil. This was on the Sunday. I'd only started. And Saturday was all training.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I ended up, just to prove a point, I went out. I went down Market Street in Manchester and I went to McDonald's in my uniform.
Did you?
The BK. Oh, and
oh, man.
And
yeah.
I got McDonald's dinner and I brought it back.
Did you?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is how annoyed I was.
Yeah.
And I ate my Big Mac.
Yeah.
In my Burger King uniform.
Should've,
in the middle of
you should have got one of those cardboard crowns and put it on. Yeah.
And she said, I want to see you in my office. I said, my lunch is for another 15 minutes. I'll see you after that.
Yeah.
Oh, I was what a horrendous person I was. But
No, you were old before your years.
I was, yeah. Basically, that was a 30-year-old doing that.
Yeah, exactly. It certainly was. Yeah, but that's right. But she's wrong.
She was wrong, to be fair. She was a bit powerful.
People get sacked all the time for doing the wrong thing. I've never really had a day job, I have to admit.
No, I know. Well, you ran away to the circus, didn't you?
Yeah, I ran away to the circus when I was 17. Yes, I joined a Shakespearean theatre company. I did. So I've always just spoken the Queen's English.
Maybe I'll sack you in the next 5 minutes,
you know what it feels like. Oh, yeah, okay, give it
Get
to
out
me.
Of here, Phil.
No, you can't. I'm going to go to
hits radio.
It hits radio. Come back. And I'm on my lunch, mate.
You got sacked for the most random, ridiculous reason. Obviously, we're only hearing your side of the story.
Yeah.
But that's all we're interested in.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Nathan Graham, I threw up on the boss's shoes.
Oh.
Then thought it would be a good idea to tripe it off with my shoe. Not right. realising I had a stone stuck on the bottom of the shoe. Scratched all his shoes. This is not going well for
Nathan. No, exactly. Bye-bye.
Margaret McPete on Facebook says, had the shortest job in history in a local baker's. Started at 8 a.m. and I told my boss I forgot when interviewed that I had a holiday booked for 2 weeks later. I was sacked at 8:02.
Forgot to tell the boss, yeah, sure.
Forgot about that. I just got the job first.
Just got the, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That'll just be a little bit of money to spend when I'm on holiday.
Yes. Dan in York says, Jason, I got fired from a well-known supermarket because I stole other employees' food from the communal fridge. Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah.
Can't be doing that.
You deserve to go, no.
If it says Rita's lunch
on it. Yeah, Rita's cheese. Don't eat Rita's cheese.
I'm on the well-known supermarket side. On that
I'm not sure. I lived with a guy once that was really touchy about his eating his food, and he had a block of cheese, and he came home one day and went, "Who's eating my cheese?" So I went out and bought like a big 3-pound block of cheese, and then wrote his name on it. There you go, and there's your cheese. And he went, "Why'd you do that?" I said, "Well, just to show you how easy it is to buy cheese." And I said, "No, also, I bought you extra, so if any of us have any of it, that's my bit."
It's fine, yeah. Becky from London, this is also on a food-related sacking. She says, many years ago, when I was a student saving to move to London to acting college, I worked part-time in a food factory in Lancashire. My job was to weigh out portions of spotted dick, which is one of the most hilarious of desserts, of course, for packing for a well-known supermarket. It was a night shift and I was starving. One piece of pudding just didn't weigh quite enough to be used.
What?
After a few seconds of debate, I gave in to the cravings and I popped the pudding into my mouth one, whilst hurriedly munching on my contraband. My name was shouted from the rafters. Alarm bells rang and the production line was stopped. Everyone looked. My boss came down from her office on high, squeezed my cheeks and expelled the spotted dick from my mouth.
Oh.
I was summarily fired. Becky from London.
Wow, that sounds like a novel.
It does sound like
She's
a novel.
She's written it like, he's from the offices from high. He came swept down from the rafters, smacking the spotted dick from my mouth.
Well, I never thought we'd hear the phrase, expelled the spotted dick from my mouth on radio. And what else we got? We got Lee, who says, my friend got suspended for taking a picture of holding a Cornish pasty to his head to make it look like he was in Star Trek, you know, the old Klingons. His suspension paper actually said, for improper use of a Cornish pasty.
No. That's amazing.
Imagine putting that on your CV.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
how did you lose your last job? And also, improper use of a Cornish pasty makes it sound a lot worse.
It does, yeah.
Sounds what the hell was he doing with that thing?
Stuff them in a bra and pretend to have man boobs.
Even worse. And Rachel says, I got sacked from The Gap for pretending I didn't work there to a customer whilst wearing a name badge. Can you help me, please? I don't work here, I'm afraid.
Work here, exactly.
Why does it say, how can I help you?
Help you? I'd like helping people, but not in this place.
Just not right now.
That's great.
I love that.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Seems to be quite a lot of people who've lied on their CVs.
Yeah.
And then been caught out seconds into the job.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive, this one. There's no name on it. They said, Jason, I got sacked within 10 minutes from a warehouse job.
10 minutes?
In the telephone interview, they asked me if I could use a pallet truck. I said yes, as I had used the manual one that you pull around by hand. But when I arrived, I realised these were the pallet trucks that you stand on, and people were whizzing around the warehouse at some speed, picking up pallets of alcoholic drinks. I did 5 minutes of very slow driving to try and get the hang of it. The warehouse manager came on the tannoy from the rafters.
from the rafters.
And told me to pick up the pace with some expletives thrown in for good measure. I took a run up at the next pallet, but misjudged the height of the prongs. Instead of going under the pallets, they went through about 12 boxes of vodka bottles.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Don't drink and drive, folks.
Ben says, I worked in a condiment factory once.
Oh, here we go.
Spent 12 hours accidentally putting pepper in the salt sachets and salt in the pepper sachets. Sacked on the spot.
What? Sacked on the spot?
Yeah, for that.
For that?
Well, I don't know.
You gotta take it with a pinch of salt.
Phil's currently on tour.
I'm on tour.
If you want to see more gold like that,
I'll be in Norwich, Winchester, and the Soho Theatre November 27th to December 1st.
Wow.
And I got to plug in. I know it's disgusting, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's got to be done, mate. It's got to be done. Martin Fowler rang in sick to a shift at the pub, but then went in for a beer. Yeah, that's not. You've got to have a memory when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
It's like these people who, you know, like Brad Johnson. I got sacked due to the death of my grandmother. To be fair, it was the second time that year. You can't die twice in a year, mate.
Exactly. You've got to remember. Well, that's amazing, going into the pub that you work in. I mean, how drunk was he when he went into the pub?
That's exactly it, isn't it?
Well, if in here, I know people in here.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
I know a guy there.
The staff's nice. I know a fella behind the bar. Hang on, that's me.
I'll just pour myself a drink. And I'm not on duty. No, I don't have any money.
Down. It's easy done. I love it. Thanks for these. It's funny. John in Reigate says, when I was 19, I got a job as a chef in a Happy Eater restaurant.
Ooh.
Eating in a Happy Eater?
Yeah, I have.
Of course we have. All you had to do was follow a picture to make each of the meals look the same.
That's
an easy job.
I guess so.
But nobody told me you had to defrost the chicken before deep frying it. To make chicken and chips. Nobody told him.
Like, surely there'd be someone there.
But how do you not know?
No.
Already?
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't have to be told.
That's where you need the little chef.
Yeah, exactly.
You need the little chef to come in.
The dish was sent back, I'm not surprised.
No kidding.
No one's that British.
No, you never know.
It'll be fine,
Margaret. It'll be fine, darling. It's supposed to be this way. This is what they... In Kiev, it's pretty cold. In the middle.
I was then sent home. End of my culinary career. And he's off to the derby today. So it's Manchester City versus Manchester United.
Oh, wow, that's going to be massive.
It's a big game today.
I better get out of town.
You should.
I'm an Evertonian.
Get out of Dodge. Are you really? Is that your team?
I don't know why.
Yeah, why?
When I came over from Canada, it was the first Premiership match I watched. And it was Walter Smith was the coach, and I'm Scottish. And then there was four Scottish nationals on the team, Dunk Ferguson for the first time. And they won the game. It was a relegation match, and they won. There's bagpipes to start. They were blue and white, and
that's
I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. And so I was, from that point on, I've been an Evertonian.
Evertonian, wow.
I know. And people go, I'm sorry. I'm going, no, I'm happy about that. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it's the big derby today, which again... I'm going to miss. I've got this gig in Stevenage, which I've already cancelled twice on this tour.
You can't do it again.
For the Beast of the East, when we had that huge storm and nobody could go anywhere. I mean, obviously, as a Canadian, you're obviously laughing at us.
Yeah, exactly. But,
and then the second time was because England got into the semi-finals or whatever.
Of the World Cup.
And so I had to cancel it that night as well. And so all week people have been saying to me, are you going to definitely do this gig, Jace? Is it definitely happening? And then I looked, Manchester City versus Manchester United at home, and I've got a ticket. Yeah. I was like,
And you've got a ticket?
Yeah, I've got a season ticket.
Is it known which team you support?
I support Manchester City. So good luck today. I can't see us getting beat, to be honest. But hey, who knows? Who knows? Up the Blues!
Jason. Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
And you can see Phil as well. Phil is doing a run at the Soho Theatre. He's in Winchester, he's in Norwich, loads of great places. So make sure you follow him on Twitter.
At Phil Nicol, yeah.
And his website, philnicol.com. And you've got a new material night.
I've got a new material night. It's called The Delivery Room. Great name for a new material night. Where we deliver our little babies. It's in London. It's on Upper Street in Islington in the Tap Room. It's every Tuesday. It starts at 8 p.m. We have amazing professional comedians. means trying out new stuff. We've had Russell Cain's dropped in, Tony Law's dropped in. The headliners have been like Reg Hunter, Ahmed Jalili, Lou Saunders. We've got Angela Barnes and Dave Johns, who was I, Daniel Blake. We've got Andrew Maxwell. I mean, it's been amazing.
Yeah,
I think Jason Manfred's going to do it later in the year.
I've heard he's been roped into it.
Roped into it. He hasn't. You don't have to do it, mate.
No,
I don't want you. You're sacked. You are sacked, mate. But tomorrow night, or this week, not tomorrow night, but on Tuesday this week, we've got the incredible Australian comedian Brendan Burns.
Oh, he's
great.
Headlining.
But we've got an amazing lineup of people, though. It's going to be phenomenal.
It's always great if you get a chance to. If you're in London and you fancy that on a Tuesday night, new material nights are always exciting, aren't they? Because obviously, when you come and see an act on tour, or even in the clubs generally, what you're getting is their tight 20 there, or their 2 hour show, or whatever it is. It's been honed and perfected, and there's something so nerve wracking. I mean, you know, even now, I've got my bit of paper in front of me, and I'm like, you know, when you're in Tesco,
it's true. And it's so nice to see comedians become funny. Comedians are funny people anyway, so usually, even if the material itself doesn't work, they are funny, and the night is fun, and the whole idea of being there when they're giving birth to these new ideas is the idea of the delivery room.
It's a lovely idea. So get involved if you fancy a bit of that with Phil. Have a lovely week. Enjoy yourself this week. If you want to get in touch, I'm on Twitter, of course. You can come and say hello to me at any point at Jason Manford. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Goodbye.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.